Enjoyed that music tonight and the story of Fanny Crosby. It's very real. We're going to talk with her someday, if you know the Lord as Savior. And, you know, these eyes of ours distract us, don't they? A lot of people won't go to heaven because of all the things they saw with these eyes. And they seemed more within reach than those eternal things. And they sacrificed for what they could reach for here, for what they couldn't see in eternity. And even though the Bible laid those things out, boy, she was a good example. Boy, tonight the music, you know, we have that flesh, we have that old flesh, don't we? The music tonight kind of settled down the flesh, kind of quieted the flesh down. We have that soul of ours, that mind, kind of enriched that mind. We have that spirit, and I tell you, it lifted my spirit a little closer to the Lord. And that's what music should do. A lot of times, the wrong kind of music, you get around it and it stirs up that flesh. Stirs up those cravings. And it unsettles the mind. And as far as the spirit goes, leaves you a little bit more rebellious. And, well, I want some things, and I don't really care what you want. There's a battle. And music is in the middle of it. Teens, you want to talk about not playing with fire. That area of music, you got to take it very seriously. Take it very seriously. You want to be around that music that settles down that flesh and draws you closer to the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. In Psalm chapter 40, I wanted to come here. There in verse 3, it says that He hath put a new song in my mouth. So I wanted to talk just a few things about the song that pleases the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I'm asking for your help. I pray, Lord, that you'd allow me to lay out clearly without taking too much time something that I believe you laid on my heart. I have a burden to share this with my church family and those visiting here tonight, and I pray that you just help me, Lord. I hope that you'd help me as I open up the word to these folks. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would open up their hearts. I see things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, in Psalm chapter 40, I see a psalm of deliverance. A psalm of deliverance. This was a guy who needed delivering. Look at verse 12. It says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about." You ever feel that way? There's so many things coming at you from all the different directions, and you can't even count them, and they're getting you from the back. And mine iniquities, it goes on, have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. His iniquities have come where he's not even able to look up. He's at the bottom of the barrel, and he's so disoriented by his iniquities and being confused, and he's not even able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart faileth. Here's a man who needs deliverance. And you know what? He found the right place to look. Verse 13, "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." As we see at the beginning of this chapter, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my crying. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." God lifted him up. God delivered him out of a horrible pit. We think of some people in the Bible that were in some terrible pits. We think of Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was down in a pit, and God could bring him up out of that pit. We think of Jeremiah, who was in that pit, and God brought him up. We think of Daniel in his lion's den. Mrs. Peyton and I, before church, we were talking about that Thai soccer team. Boy, just thinking about those guys gives me claustrophobia. And the narrow spaces they had to climb through, 2 miles under a mountain. And you know what? They're delivered tonight. And deliverance feels good. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there when they came out? That story was all around the planet. And people were cheering. And to have been right there on scene, that would have been exciting. Now, we were talking about it's sad that this one man gave his life. And we were thinking, he was bringing them oxygen, and he ran out himself. And we were thinking, that reminds us of the Lord Jesus, who became poor for our sake, so that we might be made rich. You know, deliverance feels good, doesn't it? And the question that came up to us as we were talking was, those young people, I wonder how long they'll remember that guy. I wonder how long they'll live in the light of that deliverance. And you know, the truth is, we so quickly forget to live in the light of our deliverance, don't we? Boy, our deliverance is worth singing about. And when we live in the light of the deliverance of the Lord Jesus, that keeps our song pure. But it's so easy to forget the one who gave everything for me to live. You know, that word live, L-I-V-E, you can find that word right in the middle of deliverance. And sometimes we just go on living, but you know, we need to keep that word right in the middle of delivered. We need to live in the light of the deliverance that Christ gave to us. Boy, it's a chapter on deliverance. That's worth singing about. It's a chapter on delight. Look at verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is it within my heart. So again, I go back to verse 12. He talks about innumerable evils have compassed me about. He talks about the hairs of my head, my problems. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart faileth me. How do you go from there to I delight to do thy will, O my God? Yea, thy law is within my heart. I was thinking, boy, from death and destruction to in love with instruction, delighting in instruction. How does that happen? Well, I think when you come face to face with your problems and you find that deliverance, God gives you better things to think about. You know, he needed to think about those things, his iniquities that had taken hold on him. But when he brought those things to the Lord, God gave him better things to keep track of. Now again, here we have innumerable evils. They are more than the hairs of my head. But guess what became innumerable to him now? Look at verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. We have better things to think about. And I tell you, when you think about the better things, first of all, you come face to face with your sin and you find deliverance in the Lord Jesus. But then you live in the light of that deliverance. And then you focus on the Lord God and how innumerable are his mercies toward us and his goodness and the fact that he thinks about us. Can you imagine being those Thai soccer players? The first day they're in that 2 miles in. The first day and in the blackness, they wonder, I wonder if anyone knows where we are. Day number 2, day number 3, hidden within the depths of that mountain. You know, mankind likes to hide. Adam and Eve, they hid behind the trees. we like to hide in a crowd. Someday they're going to cry to the rocks to fall upon me to escape the sight of God. We like to hide, but when we come out of hiding, and when we find out while we're in hiding, or even when we're underneath the depths of a mountain, God's thoughts are there with us. And he can deliver us. And his thoughts, he thinks about us. I like the story of the woman that had the issue of blood. And for 12 years, she would go to doctors and things would get worse and worse. And of course, Jesus is on his way to heal another a sick person. And on his way, the crowd is pressing in around him. And he says, who touched me? And they're like, Master, the crowd is thronging you and pressing upon you. And you said, who touched me? And she said, somebody touched me. And the Bible says when she found that she was not hid. And you say, hid? Where was she hiding? Among the crowd. Did you know you can hide among a crowd? You can hide among people. And Jesus looked around. When she found that she was not hid, she came forward and said, I did. I knew that if I could touch the hem of your garment, I'd be healed. And I did, and I was. And Jesus said, be of good cheer, sister. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Boy, it's fun to realize that God's thoughts toward us are innumerable. You think I'm one of billions on this planet. I am one of billions on this planet. And you know, God's thoughts toward just you are more than you can count. We have, boy, you can delight in that. Boy, you have deliverance, and then you, instead of keeping track of your sins and how they've taken hold on you, and they're more than the hairs of your head, and then you have better things to think about, how, woe is me! What is man that thou art mindful of him? I can't believe that you'd spare one thought for me, let alone innumerable thoughts. You can delight in those things. That's something you can sing about. This is a chapter of deliverance. It's a chapter of delight, but it's also a chapter of distinction. Chapter of distinction, because when it talks about that song in verse 3, in verse 2 it says, he brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth. And so there's a contrast here. There's a distinction here between the old song and the new song. And so here we see this horrible pit. And then from the pit, his feet are placed on a rock. We see that there was miry clay. And now his goings are established. Instead of slipping and sliding, and you know, when you're sliding, usually gravity takes over and you're sliding towards something that's worse. All right? And unable to get your footing, unable to get your foot out. You know, you're trying to get your foot and the suction is, you're stuck in that. And then God establishes your goings. And then you're on that solid rock. There's a new sound. There's a new song. There's a sound that is associated with where you were, and there's a sound that is associated where God put you instead. That pit was horrible. I'm not a Hebrew expert, but I looked up this word in Hebrew, and horrible has to do with tumultuous, noisy. The Treasury of Scripture Knowledge cross-referenced it over with Matthew 13:14, where it says that they were casting them into outer darkness where there was wailing and gnashing of teeth, where there were hellish strains. God took us away from that and put us where there was heavenly singing. From the horrible mire to the heavenly choir. The pit was awful. And he took us from that and placed our feet on the rock and put a new song in our mouth. By the way, this song, it says he put the new song in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Now that seems counterintuitive to us. Because if my wife wants me to write a poem to her, she's not going to write it and hand it to me and say, this is the poem I want you to give me for my birthday. But it really is that way with God. He wants to be praised with the song that he gave us. It's different. All right? Cain got in trouble because he says, I'm going to use my creativity to come to God the way I want to come to him. And God said, I'm not having it. You come to me the way I told you to come to me. Within the parameters of my guidelines, then use your creativity. Fanny Crosby wrote a lot of music within the guidelines of how God wanted to be approached. Within those guidelines, she used her creativity. And God was honored. And my heart was stirred even this many years later. It's the song that God gave us. Now, what's the problem? Well, you know, when you forget to live in the light of the deliverance, you start to long to be back in that pit. You say, nah. Oh, yeah, we do. Because here, when you're on that rock, I mean, you're living for what he wants. And when you're living in the light of deliverance, what he wants is, yeah, that's great. I belong to you. It was terrible. You saved me. I owe you a life debt for the rest of my life. I'm going to belong to you and please you. But how quickly, how long are those young people going to remember that guy who gave everything for them? How long do we remember the one that gave everything for us? After a while, it gets boring over here. That new song. They're halfway through the song. Maybe I ought to pull out my hymnal and look at the words a little bit. I'll just move my mouth a little bit. That pit, man, it was good back there in the pit. It used to be that it was whatever I craved. We get that way, don't we? It's like, man, it's just work. Every moment, asking myself, what does he want? I would just love the freedom of going after what I want. Oh, now that's freedom. No, I wouldn't do it forever. I would just, and then you just live there and your heart is over there, even if you aren't. Your heart is over there and you begin, I want to talk about how horrible that pit is for a few minutes. That he took us up out of. And I was asking, Lord, how can I describe tonight how horrible that pit is? My mind went back to 2015. in Paris, there was a rock concert, and there was an American rock band called the Eagles of Death Metal playing at a Bataclan theater, and 89 people were shot to death there that night. So the American band, Eagles of Death Metal, was playing to an audience of around 1,500 people. About an hour into the concert, a car pulled up outside, and three dark-clad men with AKM assault rifles entered the hall. As the band began playing their song, Kiss the Devil, gunmen took up positions on the mezzanine and opened fire. Initially, the audience mistook the gunfire for pyrotechnics. And so there were several people that at first there was gunfire and people dying, and they didn't know it wasn't part of the show. I don't know, it just seems to be if people could die and you're not on you're the sounds of death belong there until you look around and people are actually dying and then you wake up. There was an eyewitness. He goes, I thought it was part of the show, and then I looked over and the person next to me was dead. Playing Kiss the Devil. Now, I found another article associated with this from the Washington Post. This person was writing, why do terrorists attack concert halls? And from the article, they were talking about, why do terrorists attack places of Western entertainment? And it was interesting to take a sneak peek into this mindset. Here's what they said. When a suicide bomber detonates explosives in the Manchester Arena in the United Kingdom, killing concert goers as they file out of pop star Ariana Grande's show, he joined a particularly insidious tradition of attacks on entertainment spaces. The killers who carry out such acts of terrorism aren't simply launching assaults on Western culture. They're attempting to destroy the particular freedom that comes from surrendering to art, letting down all your defense and surrendering to the cravings that the art calls for. Surrendering to art, exploiting the very vulnerability that accompanies that surrender. The apparent suicide bombing in Manchester was the fourth major such attack in 5 years. Why, in 2012, James Holmes killed 12 people in an Aurora, Colorado movie theater. In 2015, and it goes on to talk about that occurrence in Paris. We choose to go to concerts, to the movies, because of the pleasure they bring us and the communion we feel in the presence of our community. You know, kissing the devil. These attacks are an attempt to murder the idea that it's safe to let your child be for one evening at least deliriously happy and free in the presence of a pop idol. These attacks are especially deadly and exceptionally cruel because they take advantage of the surrender that is involved in these aesthetic experiences. So they talk about immersing yourself in these experiences, and everyone knows there's a surrender to the experience that takes place. And I thought that was interesting. You let go. When does the Bible ever say to let go? Bringing our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It tells us, therefore, my brethren, if anything be true and lovely and honest and just and of good report and pure and all those, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. When does the Bible ever say to surrender to the experience you're in the middle of? The art that transports you is the very thing that makes you vulnerable. The same darkness that liberates you, get that? The same darkness that liberates you, they call it darkness. The darkness that liberates you from your everyday life, whether it is mundane or oppressive, gives cover to your killer. And I got news for them. You know, I don't condone these murders. But before those gunmen opened fire, there was already a killer lurking there. 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, especially when you're kissing the devil. They go on to talk about how irritating it is that they can't surrender themselves to those experiences and feel completely at ease. They call themselves misfortunates. Now we have to brace in the dark of the theater or the club rather than giving ourselves up to it completely. That's from the Washington Post. The pit is awful. And I'm telling you, there's something that draws us back to it. When we forget to live in the light of our deliverance and forget to delight ourselves in the Lord every day, boy, that stability of that rock, the establishing of my goings, it's like, man, when my goings are established, it's like they're so established, it's the same over and over again. Why, over there was freedom when I get to, I used to just be able, don't you wish sometimes you could just be like the world and pop in whatever movie you want? Listen to whatever video, or listen to whatever music you want. All this, trying to ask yourself constantly what God wants. Does it get tiring sometimes? Don't you wish you could just let your hair down and just give in to the cravings? Enter the darkness, the Washington Post calls it. Don't you wish you could slide back into the darkness and be perfectly comfortable there? I want to warn these people. Before those people that were scary, there was a scarier person lurking in those shadows. I stole this from Mr. Ramus. Mr. Ramus wrote a little article on Psalm 40 a while back and his thing, and he was talking about, boy, when you have music, you want to ask yourself, what's the foundation of this music? What is it based upon? What is it built on? Who are the friends of this music? Who likes this music? You know, the devil was uncomfortable around that music that David played for King Saul. Who's comfortable around the music, around this music? Who's comfortable? What's the focus of the music? How are we going to guard ourselves? How are we going to keep our song pure? We've been given that new song, but we still have that old nature that still craves those things that satisfy the flesh. I'm the same way. Boy, you walk in somewhere and you're just like, there's some sort of music playing in some store and you're like, it's like, man, I walked in and I was just human. Now I feel like I could, take on anybody. I kind of like this feeling. You there, were you looking at me funny? Just checking. And you're walking around, it's like, I like this feeling, but it's not a good feeling. It's not me honoring God, and it's not me trying to help my fellow man see the Lord Jesus Christ. It's me feeling bigger than everybody. And somebody else got in big trouble when they tried to do that. The devil with all those I wills, I will, I will. And that music pumps me up, and I like the feeling. But while I'm on this earth, I have to keep my song pure. And how am I going to do it? I'm going to delight. I'm going to live in the light of that deliverance. Monday night, Brother Leek and I went to minister to the the prisoners at Westville. The prisoners at Westville. And I thought, well, I'm teaching on music Thursday night, so we're going to... It's a tough subject to bring up there because they love their CCM. And when, there's an addiction. There's a fleshly addiction. And when you get in between, it doesn't matter how reasonable you are. It doesn't matter how much scripture you show them. But I tried just to really lay it out and show them scripture so that there was no argument. And the night seemed to go well. And on the way home, Brother Leek, he goes, what is your favorite hymn? And I said, well, it's got to be At Calvary. Those words. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died at Calvary. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. And I ask you, how jazzed up does that have to be before that becomes interesting to you? What kind of a beat does that have to have before those words become interesting? I say, give it just enough rhythm to gently give it life so that it's got a heartbeat. Give it just enough harmony so that there's some interest there. But don't let either of those things get in the way of that message. And give it a gentle, lovely melody that embraces those words and doesn't get in the way of them. How are we going to keep our song pure? L-I-V-E. Keep those four letters right in the middle of D-I-L-I-V-E-R-E-D. Delivered. Live in the light of that deliverance. I'm telling you, those young men, they're human, and I know I'm human. It won't be long, and they'll kind of go on as though that guy never gave his life for them, bringing them oxygen while he ran out. And there's one that did something far greater for me. He became poor. He gave up heaven so that someday I could go there. He died. He gave up his life so that I could have eternal life. And so easily I forget. Let's stir up those things every day. Let's live in the light of deliverance. Let's be delighted with him. And let's remember who the song came from and who the song is for. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with this.